Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting on YouTube and AmericanFreedomRadio.com, respectively. And I also want to say thank you very much for watching these on the premiere, which is really nice to be able to be in the chat with you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here today. So, the topic for today is people with extreme anti-science views know the least but think they know the most. Study. Now, this is going to be quite interesting to get into, because there is a whole lot of anti-science kind of rhetoric out there, but at the same time, there's a whole lot of scientism, where people, you treat science as a religion, and they say, the scientist says, therefore it's true, as opposed to, the science says, therefore it's true. There's a confusion inherent within this. But before we continue, just want to remind you that if you become a Patreon, $1 or more, you get a whole bunch of rewards. For example, you get invited to the Facebook exclusive donors group, so that when brand new content and everything is posted, that you'll be able to actually see them before anyone else. YouTube, unlisted videos playlist with over 100 videos that are too hot to handle. And also, you can suggest a guest for the radio show. And if you have any contact details for them, whether it be a contact page on their website, Facebook page, anything of the like, send them on through once you've donated or become a Patreon, and we'll endeavor to get them on the show for you. So without further ado, let's get into the article. This one in here from the National Post. People with extreme anti-science views know the least, but think they know the most. Study. People often suffer from an illusion of knowledge, write the authors of a new study that finds that people who hold the most extreme views about genetically modified foods know the least. Now, here's the thing. They're talking specifically about genetically modified foods, but what they really fail to kind of calcify here, to a degree, if I could use that terminology, in reference to their pineal gland, is that extreme views, okay, are often held by people who don't know much. Okay, that's what the study actually finds, including those people who are extremely advocacious of genetically modified foods, genetically engineered foods, you know, these kind of things and labels and what have you. Recently, researchers asked more than 2,000 American and European adults their thoughts about genetically modified foods. Okay, so first of all, couple of things to note right here. This is how propaganda works. It's meant to make you think a certain way. Okay, so first of all, I know a little bit about these researcher things, not because I'm, you know, professional in that kind of thing, but because I have interviewed many people who do this kind of thing. 2,000 American and European adults. Okay, so first off, 2,000, incredibly tiny study group. Second off, there's a big difference between the education level of Americans and Europeans. Third of all, European means like a whole bunch of different countries and cultures and ethnicities and things of that nature. And adults, I think that would be arguable when you're talking about most people who are over the age of 18 or in their mid-40s or something like that. They're sexually matured. But to call them adults, I think that might be giving a bit much credit. They also asked them how much they thought they understood about GM foods, and a series of 15 true-false questions to test how much they actually knew about genetics and science in general. If you ask anybody what they know about genetics and science in general, regardless of whether they're for it or against it, you will notice that they don't know much of the science behind it, no, the actual science. They'll have very, very broad overviews. For example, genetically modified causes tumor in rats. Don't eat it. Okay, that you don't know much science. You know, you don't know about how the G proteins frickin' divide or whatever the hell. But you see, giant tumor on frickin' rat because he ate the genetically modified food. Genetically modified food, bad. The brain tells it. It just shows it. You know, that's just kind of how it works. It's sort of, something sort of jump out at you like that, and you don't need umpteen details and X amount of research papers. Just look at the giant tumor on the rat. See, there you go. I know everything I need to know. All right, and that's how a lot of people are. And it's a survival mechanism, and it's not, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Because otherwise we wind up researching into absolutely everything we don't know, and then we never stop actually researching, and therefore we never actually start doing anything. Mm. 1 second, folks. A bit of a phlegm this morning. The researchers were interested in studying a perverse human phenomenon. People tend to be lousy judges of how much they know. Okay, well, there's this old saying that you don't know how much you don't know. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that. Exactly. Across four studies conducted in three countries, the US, France, and Germany, US, France, and Germany, that's two of the most highly educated first world powers in the world, and one of the least educated first world powers in the world. The researchers found that extreme... I love you, Americans. I do. But, again, the study is stating a truism that you don't know how much you don't know. Especially if you haven't travelled outside of the United States. You know, that kind of thing. Imagine the inherent ignorance of somebody who knows more about your country than you do. And they live 10,000 kilometres away and came to your country once when they were 14. Okay? Why do you think I got the gig on American Freedom Radio? That's me, baby. The researchers found that extreme opponents of genetically modified foods, quote, display a lack of insight into how much they know. They know the least, but think they know the most. So it's, again, just repeating that kind of mantra. Let's go further into the article and hope that it actually explains how this mechanism and that conclusion was actually drawn. Because if you draw conclusions without the actual evidence and things of that nature, and again, this is what the article's talking about. So we're going to go into a lot of unintentional irony through this article, I guarantee you. The less people know, the authors conclude, the more opposed they are to the scientific consensus. So bam, right there. Is science about consensus? Okay, so let's say I said, okay, raise your hand, is milk good or bad? You don't know? About 51% of the people said it was good. Okay, so therefore, scientific consensus, it's good. Okay? Not how science works. There's no such thing as a consensus. The dude's either got the facts, the evidence, and shows his method and how he came to those conclusions and things of that nature, or he's got nothing. He's part of a democracy. It's like, I'm voting for Trump. I'm voting for Obama. I'm voting for Bush. I'm voting for Clinton. I'm voting for Bush. I'm voting for... But, you know, it just... There's nothing with any frickin' point to it. Science communicators have made concerted efforts to educate the public with an eye to bringing their attitudes in line with the experts, i.e. we're the experts. Think what we tell you to think. And again, that's not science! But people with an inflated sense of what they actually know, and again, they haven't, and they say this ironically in the article, and most in need of education, indoctrination, that's what education means, are also the ones least likely to be open to new information. You don't say. Okay, like, this whole phrase, said unironically, is one of the most hilarious things that I haven't laughed at hysterically in quite some time. But people with an inflated sense of what they actually know, and most in need of education, are also the ones least likely to be open to new information. This suggests that a prerequisite to changing people's views through education may be getting them to first appreciate the gaps in their knowledge. The author's right. Now, this is exactly what a lot of conspiracy actually does. It's like, what's the melting point of steel? Oh, you don't know? Oh, it's X whatever degrees. You know what the hottest fire ever recorded in an office building was? What? It was X degrees. But that's way lower than the melting point. I know. So steel can't frickin' melt. in jet fuel. That's how much you didn't know. The problem is similar to the Dunning-Kruger effect. The less competent a person is at something, the smarter they think they are. So, see, this has already been discovered so long ago that there's a name for the phenomenon. Oh, look, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. Let's do a giant study on it, but just have the Dunning-Kruger effect as it applies to the people that we don't like and wish to indoctrinate and demonize, i.e. people who are against our genetically modified food agenda to control all food everywhere till the end of time with a centralized food monopoly so that people that we don't like can eventually be starved out, whether they be an individual, a community, or a nation, or a planet. We can do it because we control the food and control everything thusly. Not only do these people reach erroneous conclusions and make unfortunate choices, David Dunning and Justin Kruger write in their 1999 paper describing the phenomenon. So basically what these people are doing is they're coming up with a 20-year-old paper and just revamping it and just go, hey, look, this is old idea that means unequivocally that anybody who thinks that they know something about that genetically modified foods are bad, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. They don't know what they're talking about. I swear they don't know what they're talking about. It's just like, what if you're not the one who knows what you're talking about, bro? Did you ever consider that possibility? Because the Dunning-Kruger effect also puts that into account. Okay, so it's a double-edged sword when you use this Dunning-Kruger effect analogy, isn't it? Because if you're telling people, oh, you just don't know the knowledge because you don't know the knowledge, and therefore you don't want more knowledge, and it's saying, but I could say the same thing to you, bro. You're trying to convince me of what you think is an education paradigm, but instead of actually explaining to me the evidence and details of how you reach your conclusions and made your assumptions and tested the frickin' theories and things of that nature by which you actually reached these broad brush conclusions that you're telling me to accept without question. If you don't tell me all of those things and I don't immediately believe you, that's not the Dunning-Kruger effect. That's called, I need evidence. And when somebody repeats themselves and repeats themselves and repeats themselves and repeats themselves and repeats themselves, dances around the issue and doesn't discuss the evidence, that person is a lying propagandist in most cases, or at least the ones that I've encountered personally. And what is a lying propagandist? Somebody who doesn't tell the whole truth and attempts to convince people of a particular point of view, not by using the truth, but by using other means. Lying propagandist, all right? That's the thing. I am a truthful propagandist. I'm telling you the truth in order to propagandize you into doing your own thing, figuring it out for yourself. I'll just tell you the truth, and you can go out and research it and figure it out for yourself, but at the end of the day, it's all your responsibility to know what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, and so on and so forth. So that way, you don't get lapsed into this Dunning-Kruger effect, which is in fact a very important, but again, double-edged notion. But their incompetence robs them of the metacognitive ability to realize it. All right, so you come up with a stupid conclusion, okay? You come up with an idea that you don't know anything about. You don't plan to do anything about it. You don't accept any criticism of your idea. And when somebody asks you to explain your idea and the details and things of that nature, you don't even have the intellectual honesty or even the capacity in some cases to even realize that you're talking bullshit and that you're wasting people's goddamn time. You know? You ever had that? You had whole bunches of people who talk about all these ideas are great, these things that they're going to do, but they never do anything, do they? And they're still exactly where they were X amount of time ago, aren't they? So it's just like, okay, talking about that crap is a waste of time. Getting back into it, or as English actor and comedian John Cleese once said, if you're very, very stupid, how can you possibly realise that you're very, very stupid? You'd have to be relatively intelligent to realise how stupid you are. Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, this article does so unironically. knowing that there are a whole bunch of stupid people reading it who won't question its motives or what it's trying to get across. You see? Isn't that hilarious? It's the person writing this may have been sitting there chuckling to themselves like... I can't believe these people are swallowing this hogwash I'm throwing down. Here's how you propagandize people correctly if you want to use lies. Don't use lies. Use 90% truth and a tiny little bit of lies in there with a little bit of omission. That way people will only point at the things that you're saying that are true. No, he's saying this, it was true, it was there, it was true, that was true. Yeah, but this he didn't mention, that he didn't mention, that he didn't mention, and this one he completely freaking bold-faced lied about. Do you know what integrity is? It's when you're honest and operate with a moral conscience at all times. That's what journalistic integrity is. You can't just change what you say because it sounds more comfortable to you. The truth, by its nature, is very combative and very belligerent because it's the only thing that exists in this world to destroy mind control. That's the only thing that'll save you from mind control, ladies and gentlemen, knowing how to discern truth from fiction. Because any time you're being mind controlled, it's because somebody's using fiction against you. And if you don't know how to figure that out, they will use it against you and continue to use it against you, and you will continue to be used perpetually for the rest of your life until you figure it out. You know, nobody can just come across and just tell this to you. You have to suffer perhaps just a little bit. Extreme views often come along with not appreciating the complexity of the subject. Absolutely. So many people just come down hard on one side or the other, and they're not willing to actually just sit there and just discuss, okay, but what about the finer details and things like that? And you'll say to them, look, we're arguing about the same thing here. Okay, we're talking about a car. You just said the car's got four wheels. I agree, but I'm also saying that it's got an engine and stuff, but you won't let me say that because you're still obsessed about the fact that it's got four wheels, you know? It's stupid. It's just stupid. And there are stupid people in this world, make no mistake. Can they be less dumb? Absolutely. I believe they can. How to do it, on the other hand, nobody fucking knows. Not appreciating the complexity of a subject and not realizing how much there is to know, said Philip Fernbach, lead author of the new study and a professor of marketing at the University of Colorado Boulder. You see? Marketing. I wonder if the University of Boulder, Colorado has received some donations from the formerly known Monsanto Corporation. Renamed Bear or whatever the hell they're calling it now. All right. When you are running a scam on someone and that scam gets really massively exposed, two things you can do. Stop scamming people and go underground and then just change your name and keep scamming them. Or if you haven't been exposed all that much, you just change your name and keep scamming them. It's a simple process. It works. Oh, I don't like Bush. I want Clinton. Oh, I don't like Clinton. I need Bush. I don't like Bush. I need Obama. I don't want Obama. I want Trump. Same scam. You just change the name of the scam. Or the scammer. And that way people don't know what the hell's going on. Quote, people who don't know very much think they know a lot, and that is the basis for their extreme views. Now, this is the third, fourth, fifth repetition in this one thing. So this is a mind control experiment, ladies and gentlemen. If they do this thing maybe perhaps a seventh time or something like that, mention that exact same phrase, you know that this is written by marketers as a mind control technique, all right? Because it'll take that amount of time for that same information to just get in your mind. Oh, da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of thing. Ding, 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 and they're ringing the bell for your brain, baby. His team's findings held across education levels and for people on both sides of the political aisle. Okay, this means that this effect affects everyone. Smart, dumb, You're still so dumb that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how much you know, and you think you know more than you think you do. All right, you know, that's the. No matter how smart or dumb you are, no matter which part of society you're from, isn't that interesting? How they could find this out with only 2,000 subjects, you know, to study with like 15 true or false questions, they can discern all this. Genetically modified foods are a non-partisan issue, Fernbach said. People on the right and the left kind of hate GMOs, even though the majority of scientists consider them to be safe for human consumption as conventionally grown ones. Majority of scientists. Who do the majority of scientists work for? Is it by chance the major evil corporations that are kind of fucking up the planet that they have a financial interest in supporting? That kind of thing? The majority of them? Don't know. But it's quite possible. Also, there's lots of evidence out there against genetic engineering and all of the risks associated with, as I've previously discussed. Quote, genetic engineering is one of the most important technologies that is really changing the world in a dramatic way. Yeah, the amount of health defects and things of that nature that are happening to the United States population almost exclusively that aren't happening to Europe because Europe banned genetic engineering because even the totalitarian European Union had to admit that this stuff was dangerous for human and animal consumption, as well as bad for the environment itself, where you're releasing genetically modified Frankensteinian monsters onto the trade winds, or whatever the... You know? Even those totalitarian freaks banned that shit. But this study, no, it's fine. It's this effect, you know. You just don't know how much you don't know. It's really. That goes both ways, buddy. It's really changing the world in a dramatic way and has the potential to have tremendous benefits for human beings, Fernbach said. Potential, as opposed to actual evidence that it's got tremendous... you see? The language? How they hide shit in there? And yet there is very strong opposition. Oh, how could this happen? It couldn't be because there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of frickin' scientists and geneticists and all kinds of people from every single discipline across the entire planet of professionals that's saying, oh my god, it's gonna kill us all. I've looked at the science, I've looked at the studies, I've looked at the friggin' documents, and even the corporations that are creating this stuff destroyed themselves in the giant inferno. You know, it couldn't be any of that. No. I just don't know how. Why are there such strong opposition? In one of their studies, 91% of 1,000 American adults surveyed reported some level of opposition to GMO foods. 91% have some opposition to GMO foods, and they say, "Oh, it's just because they're all dumb." You know, what about the 9% who aren't opposed to genetically modified foods? Maybe they're the dumbest of the lot. You know? The lowest percent, the most retarded of the retarded? Or the most indoctrinated of the indoctrinated? You know? Like, maybe it's half the most retarded in society and half the most intelligent. Because according to the scale, that's how it works! The more extreme the opposition, Fernbach and his co-authors found, the less people knew about the science and genetics. That's because people, when they're really angry and aggressive and stressed out about something and stuff like that, like me, it shows that they... I'm just kidding. It shows that they don't really know too much about what they're talking about, and they're going out with a whole lot of vitriol and name-calling and aggression and stuff like that. That's narcissism, that's sadism, that's psychopathy. It's rife within the internet community because social media is essentially weaponized people's narcissism. And what that means is if you give a narcissist a psychological gun, he will go on a murderous rampage of psychological proportions, is what I'm saying. As a narcissist, trust me, I know. That's why I did social media this morning, and that's it for the day. But the more their self-assessed knowledge, how much they thought they knew, increased. So if somebody is well calibrated, those two things should be pretty highly correlated. If I know how much I know, then I know a little, I should say I know a little. Then if I know a little, I should say I know a little. And if I know a lot, I should say I know a lot, Fernback explained. Therefore, there should be high correlation between self-assessed and objective knowledge. Okay, so this is the rub here. Science is about being objective knowledge, right? Now, correlations and self-assessed knowledge, okay, that's where consensus comes in, all right? Because everybody just goes, they self-assess, they go with the tribe and that kind of thing, and that's BS. There's no such thing as scientific consensus. Never was, never existed. It's a lie. It's a fallacy. Throw it out. Anybody who uses the words scientific consensus in order to make a point, unless they're disparaging the term scientific consensus in and of itself as an extraordinary fallacy, that person cannot be trusted, in my opinion. And indeed, that's actually true for the people who are moderate, or people who have the attitude that is consistent with the scientific consensus, he said. Exactly. However, as people become more extreme, that relationship degrades and flips so that people who think they know more actually know less. You see, now this is what's happened to truthers, ladies and gentlemen. You've gone out and you watch 1,000 documentaries or something like that, and then you start to assume everything, and then you stop watching documentaries after a while after you think you know it all, don't you? Eh? Eh? I did that too. This summer I've been trying to work back into, I've been watching the old Fabled Enemies and all the old documentaries and things like that that woke me up in the first goddamn place, and you wouldn't realise, ladies and gentlemen, how much of that shit you forget. You wouldn't realize. It's like waking up all over again. We don't know how much we know because we know so much that we don't know how much we don't know. You know? That's what, that's the fuckery of it. However, as people become more extreme, that relationship degrades and flips to the people who, I got that bit. Extremists have this characteristic of being much worse than the other people at evaluating how much they know. Yeah, because when people are coming up with this hyper-confidence, no, you just don't understand the climate, the climate's changing, it's a scientific consensus, you're not talking with the brightest Crayola on the box, brother. Mm-mm. And they might not know. As much as they think they fucking know. The authors, who concluded collaborators from the University of Toronto, also explored other issues like gene therapy to correct genetic disorders and human-caused climate change denial. And it's like, okay, were humans around for the last 4 billion years? All of it? We were around for all of it? No, we weren't. Only very recent. How much is industrial society? 100 years? Okay, so the climate's been changing for like 4 billion years, right? Yeah. And we've been allegedly changing the climate for 100 years. Yeah. And you deny that human caused climate change is the only thing that happens. Like, the climate doesn't change naturally if it's only, no. It's all human caused now. And if you deny that, you're just in denial. As opposed to somebody who's using science. Who thinks, like the thousands upon thousands of people who just signed a petition against the IPCC scientific panel, right? Who are all climatologists and things like that. Not the IPCC. They barely had a climatologist among them when they cherry-pricked all this data to say, oh, 96% of scientists agree. And then thousands of scientists come out and go, we never agreed to that. The hell are you talking? You stole our data. You stole little chunks out of it. That were just bullshit. When you put them out of context, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's like you're running a scam of some kind to control the human race and degrade people's level of education. Why would you be doing that? It's almost like you don't want to have responsibility for your actions and you want all-powerful control over the entirety of the nation and the world. I don't understand why anybody would do that. Unless you're a psychopath. Oh, now I get it. They found the same effects for gene therapy, but not for climate change denial. Fernback hypothesizes that climate change has become so politically polarized that people subscribe to whatever their ideology group says, as opposed to if their ideology group is actually about scientific method, you know, looking at available data, or if your approach to science is whatever the scientists tell me, and don't explain one bit, I'll believe. You know, that kind of thing. My ideological group. Regardless of how much they think they know. See, and again, this is the same thing. They're just going over this over again and again and again and again, and they just throw in the climate change denial, they just throw in all of this other stuff, and that kind of thing. So what the establishment does is it tries to find out what the pulse of the public is like. And if they don't like what the pulse of the public is like, they go, well, we've got to withdraw that for a little bit, then change its name, and then propagandize the public again, and then do another study to see if they've accepted it yet. And if they have accepted it, then, okay, we'll do it. Brexit. Okay, 51% of you don't want it. Okay, we'll just lay it low for a little bit. You'll still be a part of the EU in the meantime until we propagandize you for another couple of years, and then we'll give you another vote, and then hopefully you'll vote the way we want, and then you'll get what you want. Okay? I.e. to not leave the EU, which is what we want, not you. Humans often suffer from an illusion of knowledge, the authors write, thinking they understand everything from common household objects to complex social policies better than they do. So the obvious thing we should try to do is educate people, Fernbach said, but that generally hasn't been very effective. See, you know, it's just like, hey, sometimes it backfires, and people double down on their counter-scientific consensus attitudes, Fernbach said, especially when people feel threatened or if they are being treated as if they are stupid. You mean like a dumbed-down population that is basically at gunpoint, figuratively speaking, at all hours of every day from the moment they're born, when it comes to taxation and who owns you and that kind of stuff, treating those people, threatening those people, you know. What's problematic about this whole idea is that, of course, you don't want to treat people as though they're stupid, but what if you could get a stupid person to realize that they were stupid? Okay, because that was something that I had to realize at one point. It was just like, oh my God, I'm actually not that bright. I'm actually pretty stupid. There's so many people out there that are so much smarter than me, and not to mean I'm not intelligent, but there's a lot of stupid things that I do, there's a lot of stupid things that I say and think. I'm an idiot. And upon realizing that I was an idiot, I became slightly less of an idiot. And I think the more I believe that I'm an idiot, the less of an idiot I'll eventually become. One can only hope. He and his colleagues plan to look now at how their findings play into other issues like vaccinations and homeopathy to see how prevalent this miscalibration effect is. See, they just throw it in there again. Let's just explain this for a minute. Vaccinations. Why did all those waterborne diseases that vaccinations allegedly cured actually get rid of? The key's in the question. Waterborne diseases. What did we use to clean water when all these diseases were prevalent? Oh yeah, that's right.
Nothing! We had sewers everywhere and waterborne diseases because we couldn't separate the shit from the water.
And so, when this new profession called
plumbers
came in, they sort of unfucked that situation royally. And then as soon as urbanization and decent sewage treatment systems and clean running water and all of that kind of apparatus was set up by men, generally speaking, because they didn't like to see their women or their children go sick, and so they were up to their ankles in shit and water and gross crap that you couldn't even fucking imagine, to make sure that we didn't suffer from waterborne diseases. And at just about the point in fucking history when all those waterborne diseases were at the vanishing point, where they basically disappeared from fucking existence, all these vaccinations start turning up from the exact diseases that had previously been cured. And what happened when those vaccinations were given to people? It gave them the disease that it was meant to protect them from and caused massive fucking outbreaks in pretty much every place they tried doing it. Okay? There was a book released in 1889. entitled something along the lines of Vaccines, a 45-year review of the scientific evidence and abject failure.
1889!
They had 50 years of research on that shit, basically, to prove that it was bullshit. We've been under 150 plus years, maybe 170 or whatever. I'm forgetting how, even how old I am now, or even how old the world is now. You feeling that? It's really confusing lately, isn't it? But here's the thing. Once these vaccines got taken up, they got this thing called the vaccine court. Okay, so the vaccine manufacturers go, okay, we need to use our lobbyists to change the American system and how it works and what have you. We can't allow people who are being damaged by our vaccines to go to courts. So they created the vaccine courts. You know what the difference is? If you go to court, you can face criminal prosecution and you can face fines and or imprisonment if you, an individual, or you, the corporation, depending on which it is, because you can't jail a corporation or whatever, but you can seize its assets, you can make them declare bankruptcy, and so on and so forth, you know, that kind of thing. That's how normal court works. In a vaccine court, none of that applies. You prove that that vaccine company gave you a dangerous product that damaged your child for life. If you get approved, and very, very few people do, like 1 in 100 or something like that, then you get compensated. Not all that generously, but still in the millions, you know, hundreds of millions every year being given out to vaccine damaged families. Okay. But the best part about that, and again, the difference between a real court and a vaccine court, is that the vaccine manufacturer isn't the one that pays you all the compensation for giving you the vaccine that damaged your child for life or killed them. They're not the ones that have to pay out any damages. The American public taxpayers have to compensate you. Okay? Not the vaccine manufacturers. Not even so much as a fine. Great, isn't it? So you can give people, I don't know, billions of dollars of compensation per year or some ridiculous figure. I forget. I've seen the PDF. Just search vaccine court compensation claims or something like that on the thing. I showed my brother to it. He's a chiropractor and he was helping out the Rotary Club in Tahiti give out polio vaccines. I was like, nah, bro, you don't want to fucking be doing that, man. That's just going to give people fucking all sorts of like crazy diseases and fuck them up, man. And homeopathy. This comes back to Rockefeller Medicine, which again, part of the creators and enforcers of vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and all of these other horrific allopathic medicine practices, essentially, that do more harm than good, which is the opposite of what the Hippocratic Oath commands that you do, because you're first supposed to do no harm. All right? I don't know how to fix this guy. I'm not going to harm him by trying something that might fuck him up, like pointing, adjuvants and live unattenuated viruses and foreign DNA and mercury derivatives into his fucking bloodstream so that he can't use his gut flora and bacteria to process out that shit before it gets digested and excreted out of the sea. No, we'll just get it straight into the bloodstream, mate. You know, she'll be right. But anyway, the Flexner Report. This dude named Flexner, okay, hired by the Rockefeller cartel who started up Rockefeller Medicine and whatever. They said to him, look, bro, go across the United States. Go to all the homeopaths, the naturopaths, any path you want. And then basically what your job is to do is to rate all of these people who are teaching any kind of medicine that they're all shit except for Rockefeller Medicine. They're all shit. Except for Rockefeller Medicine. They're all shit, except for Rockefeller Medicine. Okay? And then they controlled and took and seized the entire medical industry, the American Medical Association, Rockefeller funded and financed, blah, 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 boom! You can't approve anything, you can't prescribe anything, you can't do nothing, you'll lose your medical license, you can't do shit or whatever. It's a fucking cartel. They took control over all the universities who teach all the goddamn people who teach all the goddamn people. How do you think a virus replicates itself? okay? By spreading to different areas, infecting it with all of their shit, and then when it explodes and collapses, they spread to another area. What do you think was going to happen? After the Rockefellers conquered oil, they were just going to leave medicine alone? They're just going to leave the medicine, they're going to leave media alone, they're going to leave banking alone. It's like, no, we've got enough money and power, why would we want more? That's enough for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for watching. I would please like you to go and have a look at my Jordan Peterson rant that I did yesterday. That's a great video there. Lots of good laughs, breaking down the mainstream media and all the scum they're doing. And check out the Facebook and the Patreon. And if you can, ladies and gentlemen, sign up to that Kiwi Bank on the homepage there of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and send us a regular automatic payment so that we can keep paying the bills and keep doing this job here that we've been doing for a good 10 years now already. So again, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you come to support me at patreon.com/VinnieEastwood. And thanks for listening.